कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। साउंड सुन, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, कुंज बिहारी राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जरा वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गिरिवर धारी गोपी जरा वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి నిరంతరా శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానందే ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షువన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః సో వి ఆర్ స్టార్టింగ్ విత్ ది నెక్స్ట్ చాప్టర్ 431.1 మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తత ఉత్పన్న విజ్ఞాన ఆశ్వదోక్షజ భాషితం స్మరంత ఆత్మజే భార్యాం విసృజ్య ప్రావ్రజన్ గృహాత్ మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తత ఉత్పన్న విజ్ఞాన ఆశ్వదోక్షజ భాషితం స్మరంత ఆత్మజే భార్యాం విసృజ్య ప్రావ్రజన్ గృహాత్ మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తత ఉత్పన్న విజ్ఞాన ఆశ్వదోక్షజ భాషితం స్మరంత ఆత్మజే భార్యాం విసృజ్య ప్రావ్రజన్ గృహాత్ ఉవాచ తత ఉత్పన్న విజ్ఞాన మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ మైత్రేయ సెడ్ తతః దరాఫ్టర్ ఉత్పన్న డెవలప్డ్ విజ్ఞానాః పొసెసింగ్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆశు వెరీ సూన్ అధోక్షజ బై ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ భాషితం వాట్ వాస్ ఎనన్షియేటెడ్ స్మరంతః రిమెంబరింగ్ ఆత్మజే అండ్ టు దర్ సన్ భార్యాం దర్ వైఫ్ విసృజ్య ఆఫ్టర్ గివింగ్ ప్రావ్రజన్ లెఫ్ట్ గృహాత్ ఫ్రమ్ హోమ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ శిల్ ప్రభుపాద్కి ద గ్రేట్ సెయింట్ మైత్రేయ కంటిన్యూడ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ ద ప్రచేతాస్ లివ్డ్ ఎట్ హోమ్ ఫార్ థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇయర్స్ and developed a perfect knowledge in spiritual consciousness. At last, they remembered the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and left home, putting their wife in charge of a perfect son. So in the previous chapter, 18th verse, if you see, you will see what was the blessing Lord gave them. Let us see. Here the Lord is telling them in the 18th verse of the previous chapter, thereafter you will develop unadulterated devotional service unto me and be freed from all material contamination. At that time, being completely unattached to material enjoyment in the so-called heavenly planets as well as in hellish planets, you will return home back to Godhead. Like this, the Lord gave them a blessing. So this is the blessing they remembered. Now, the Lord had told them that you'll become freed from all material contamination by retiring and fully focusing on the Supreme Lord. Neither will you be interested in earthly pleasures or heavenly pleasures, and you will return back to me. Like that, the Lord tells them. So the purport Prabhupada says here, purport by His Divine Grace, says Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Prabhupada. After the Prachetas had finished their penances, they were blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord blessed them by telling them that after finishing their family life, they would return home back to Godhead in due course of time. After finishing their family life, which lasted thousands of years, according to the calculations of demigods, the Prachetas decided to leave home, putting their wife in charge of a son named Daksha. This is the process of Vedic civilization. In the beginning of life, as a brahmachari, one has to undergo severe penances and austerities in order to be educated in spiritual values. The brahmachari, a student, is never allowed to mingle with women and learn from the beginning of life about sex enjoyment. The basic flaw in modern civilization is that boys and girls are given freedom during school and college to enjoy sex life. Most of the children are Varna Sankara, meaning born of undesirable fathers and mothers. Consequently, the whole world is in chaos. Actually, human civilization should be based on the Vedic principles. This means that in the beginning of life, boys and girls should undergo penances and austerities. When they are grown, they should get married, live for some time at home, and beget children. When the children are grown up, the man should leave home and search for Krishna consciousness. In this way, one can make one's life perfect by going home to the kingdom of God. And there are two more paragraphs. I will continue. But here there are 2 points made till now. Very important points. First, Prabhupada is saying here, after finishing their family life, they put their wife in the custody of their son Daksha, and they proceeded to the next order of Vanaprastha and Sannyas, to the forest. You will see, even Lord Kapila, who was Devahuti Putra, Kapila, you will see, as soon as Kapila appeared and took charge of the home, his father, Kardama Muni, was ready to leave home. So there, Srila Prabhupada writes, even if Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes your son, you are not supposed to cling on to home. Rather, one should go for taking Vanaprastha Sannyas ahead. And the example is Kardama Muni, he says. Kardama Muni could have told, anyway, even if I go to forest, I am going to forest to only see the Lord, and the Lord is here in my home. So why not I stay? Yeah. So, the problem in staying at home is we will be pampered at home by the relatives and friends, by mother, father, wife, children. They give you nice foods to eat and regular supply of food, varieties of food. Bhaji in the morning, soji in the evening. So when you eat, when you eat well, then our senses become strong. Then the next program is enjoyment. Then in this way, one will become very plumpy at home in material life. And then one will do prajalpa. Then one will expand the population of the house. And one may become carried away by the, like Prahlad Maharaj in one of the verses says, what is the situation of a householder who is not Krishna conscious? He's saying here, Ko griheshu puman saktam atmanam ajitendriyah snehapashair dridhair baddham utsaheta vimochitum. What person too attached to household life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself? That means if one is attached in householder life, his situation is very pathetic, he says. An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family members, namely wife, children and other relatives. He's telling. Yeah. So in this purport, Prabhupada talks about an ordinary grihastha and a special trained grihastha. What is the difference, he says? Ordinary grihastha knows only how to satisfy the senses. That is ordinary grihastha. Trained grihastha means they can control the senses and gradually give up household life and take sannyas. And before they can control senses, they are trained, he says here. They should have. A trained grihastha can, he says here. A brahmachari is advised to go begging alms door to door, addressing all women as mother, and whatever he collects goes to the benefit of guru, and he doesn't keep a single penny for himself. In this way, he learns how to control his senses and sacrifice everything for guru. And in this way, when he is fully trained, if he likes, he is allowed to marry. Otherwise not. If he doesn't want to marry, he doesn't marry. And thus, he is not an ordinary grihastha who has learned only how to satisfy his senses. A trained grihastha can gradually give up household life and go to forest and to become increasingly enlightened in spiritual life and at last take sannyas, he is saying. This is actually a trained grihastha, he says. So, how this training happens, if you see, a brahmachari who joins the ashrama in the custody of guru, Acharan, Dasavan, Nicho, Gurau Sudrada Sauhrdaha. You should actually be having a friendly disposition with the Guru, which means whatever Guru orders him to do, he considers it as meant for his well-being. So Prabhupada gives example of Nai. You know, Nai means a barber or a mochi, who is a person who stitches the chappals and all. So those professions are very lowly professions. So a brahmachari should be very similar, he says, in the ashram of Guru. Be willing to perform very lowly things like, you know, sweeping the ashrama, cleaning the gutter if need be, washing the toilet, bathing the cow and milking the cow, going out and begging alms and bringing and giving to Guru. And after giving to Guru, if Guru says, now it's time for you to eat, you can eat now. After Guru finishes, then he is allowed to eat. And Prabhupada says, sometimes the Guru may be busy studying scriptures, he may forget to tell the disciple to eat. And the disciple doesn't eat, he says. So, in this way, your disciple learns to give up, the bad habit of cultivating unrealistic expectations. For example, we become like a goose or the fatly grown rat, you've seen that. When everything goes our way, I can eat when I want and I can eat what I want. Any type of food I want, I can get from any department anywhere. And I can stock money with me and spend it at free will. I have visibly seen when people are given their own service, their own department, their own money, their own vehicle, everything, then they become very plumpy. Because there is no subordination to any guru. There is no handing over the... like if I am at the guru's mercy for my eating, if it allows me to eat, I will eat. If he forgets to give me food, I have to starve. Just drink water and keep quiet. That is the way the Vedic culture was. And this way, the brahmacharya senses are actually controlled in this way. And he doesn't have a single penny in the pocket. When money is not there, you are also, you can't spend the way you want. You are dependent. And the example Prabhupada gives in one of his lectures is the tiger example. The tiger in the forest is very passionate. Even sometimes you see in the zoo and all, they have kept a tiger in a cage. Once I went to see a tiger, Nelson, they said. So we saw in the cage, oh my lord, it's so ferocious. It is always hitting the the rods and moving here, moving there. It just wants to come out in the beginning when they catch it. But afterwards, when they don't give any food for 2-3 days, it sits down, sitting like it is doing, sitting in one place only. Because he can't walk also now. He has lost his strength. And then after 4-5 days, he is extremely weak. Now he is wondering, am I going to live or die? They are not feeding me anything. Then when they open the door, he slowly comes out and looks, is there anyone who is going to give me some food? And the taskmaster takes a whip. Like that he hits on the ground. And the tiger thinks, my lord, if he bit me like this, I would have died now. He didn't. And the taskmaster shows him a piece of meat. Eat it. And he eats it. And then he understands, oh, this fellow gives me nice food to eat. I will do whatever he says. And then the taskmaster shows a stick. He says, jump over it. And now that he got some strength, he jumps over that. Then again he gives him one more piece of meat. Eat this. And then he tells him, go inside. He goes inside the cage. Next day he calls him, come out. Now he gives him a bigger piece of meat. He eats it. Then he shows a ring. Jump into the ring. He says, how to jump? A stick is more easy. Then he tries to jump into the ring. Then he gives him a little more meat and sends him inside. Third day he comes out. Now he shows a firebrand ring. Now the tiger is a little fear. How to jump into a firebrand ring? My lord, my body may be burnt. And then he gets the order. Then jumps inside. Isn't it? Then he feeds him more. In this way, the taskmaster increases the challenges for the tiger day after day by feeding him more and more. And the tiger knows one thing. This is the fellow who will give me my food. Otherwise, I can't get my food anywhere. Here there is no... I have come to a city. I am not in a forest. I can't catch any deer or something. So we basically understand two things. I have to be inside the cage. Whenever I am called out, he will give me food. And I have to perform a task and then go back inside. So he learns discipline like this. It's not my example. Prabhupada gives his example. You will hear in one of the Prabhupada's audio lectures, you will hear this. So here you will see three things here in the tiger's life. One is because he is in the cage, he can't do whatever he wants. Similarly, brahmachari in the ashram cannot indulge with woman. You cannot just phone call a woman, go and meet her, dally with her, indulge with her, all kinds of nonsense. That is not allowed for a brahmachari at all. So just like you are in a cage, what is the cage for us brahmacharis? The guru's order. We have promised the guru that I'll follow the four regulative principles. So that is our cage. You have to be inside the cage. When we come out of the cage, when he is calling, what is the whip? That's the instruction of the guru, which may be painful for us to follow many times. You know, many times, like, you know, balena khai be, balena podi be, urdiyate sarvada, radha krishna sevi be, gramyavarta nashini be, gramyavarta nakahi be. These are all instructions coming in guru parampara for us. Vachavegam, manasvegam, krodhavegam. So these are all like the whips. It may be difficult for us to follow, but while you are in the ashram, these rules are there and we have to follow them. And what is the jumping over the stick and then entering into a circle and entering into a firebrand? These are all the greater and greater degrees of surrender demanded by the guru towards the disciple as the disciple progresses more and more. You can see Raghunath Das Goswami, first what he was eating. Actually his father had sent some brahmanas and some servants with him and he accepted in the beginning. More than a year, he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to his place and eat prasad. Mahaprabhu also accepted. But after 1 year, the realization dawned. What was the realization? What a fool I am. My father and uncle Mahaprabhu said they are not actually proper Vaishnavas. They are praya Vaishnavas. They are not complete Vaishnavas. And Vishayar Anna Kaila Malinahayaman. If I eat that food or I feed Mahaprabhu that food, it is not proper because the food is tainted with prestige and all kinds of, you know, lordship mentality. So he stopped. And Mahaprabhu called Sarvadamodara and asked, what happened? Why he is not calling me these days? He said he has stopped taking service from those brahmanas and money from the home and everything. Now he is standing at the Simhadwaram and he is begging. Correct? Now that's first improvement. Then after that he gave up, that's Vaishyavritti. Why? Because standing and thinking that fellow will give me, this fellow will not give me. Depending on many people, we cannot depend on Krishna. If I depend on somebody else, then I won't depend on Krishna. So he said, hell with the donations which come from these people. He said, let me go to the booth and accept whatever leftovers are there. So in the booth, sometimes the burnt rice, other things, nobody will like to eat, so that will be kept. From the booth, they were giving out the old food. So he went and accepted there also. So Mahaprabhu was hearing all this, you know, refinement that he was doing and he was congratulating and appreciating him. At last, Raghunath has decided that there are some leftovers from the booth which are, the one problem with booth is regularly you go there, you get it. So when you regularly get from the booth old food, there is some kind of assurance for you. So now the last thing that he did was whatever leftovers are thrown, the cows would eat and the hard portions of food cows also won't eat. So that he took and then put it in a pot and then added some salt and added some water and that's what he was taking. Mahaprabhu personally went to see him and said, what is the nectar that you are eating? I also want to eat. So these are all examples of increasing challenges that Raghunath Das voluntarily accepted, which Mahaprabhu appreciated in the life of Raghunath Das. So in the same manner, Haridas Thakur, you know, used to chant 3 lakh names, but sometimes he took at a stretch many millions of names to chant also. So you will find such Vaishnavas actually have taken up austerities for their self-purification and to intensify the devotional service to Krishna. So the Goswamis were also given challenges like go to Vrindavan, find out the deity, you know, establish a temple and install the deities, write books and worship the Lord and set an example for everyone to follow. And when people would come from Vrindavan to Bengal, Bengal devotees would ask, how are the Goswamis living? So people would say, you know, the Goswamis are eating chickpeas. They are only wearing a kaupin and kantimala. They don't wear any other dress. Every day they live under different trees. They are performing such austerities. And they are simply searching for Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. They are assimilating the scriptures and giving the essence of the scriptures and teaching the people. And they are simply crying in great ecstasy, delighting in Krishna prema. So simply by hearing about the pure life of Goswamis, people would become amazed and charmed. And they also wanted to become serious in their Krishna consciousness. So brahmachari life is supposed to be like this. Actually, the control means you don't have any free money to spend. You are not allowed to freely mix with women. You are not allowed to freely accumulate whatever you want. Not that you have dozens of things with you at your will and wish that you can spend. You have to be dependent on a superior who will sanction you food, who will sanction you money, who will sanction you, goods, what you need for using. Sometimes if they feel the goods that you need is too opulent, it is not fit for you, then they will not sanction. That is brahmachari life. In this way, the self-control is, made possible in brahmachari life. And he is also rendering service to Guru, the ashrama of Guru. And these things are not done with a grudge. Actually, if somebody has grudge for the Guru, he is unfit for living in the ashram. Correct, no? Because one is supposed to, see, who will have grudge? One who is uncontrolled in his senses, Ajitendriya. He will have the grudge. Because he is like a lumpet. His senses are wandering wild. And when he is asked to follow a strict control, he commits blunders, hypocritical activities, and then he may leave the company. Correct, no? So therefore, one who is coming to the ashrama should voluntarily put oneself in the custody of a guru and say that, Guru, my senses are impure and I am offering myself to you. Please purify my senses by giving me instructions, by placing me under your control. And although it may be a little difficult to follow this control in the early stage due to having metal contamination since our birth, but by engaging in auspicious activities like worshipping the Supreme Lord, bowing down to the Lord, bowing down to Acharya, chanting the holy name, worshipping the deities, studying the scriptures, all these brahminical activities in Sattvaguna, they actually aid us and provide us the strength to control our senses. Actually, senses are very easy to control if they are more and more purified. Purified senses don't go crazy. Only impure senses go crazy. Purified senses will be like a controlled animal, as I told you. Like the elephant. An uncontrolled elephant is mad. A controlled elephant, can do so many good activities. It gives ashirwad. A controlled elephant is lifting the log of wood on the order of the master. And the controlled elephant is well-behaved, so well-behaved, you can even walk it in a street, in the public area. People would be afraid of a mad elephant, not a controlled elephant. Even children are not afraid of a controlled elephant. Even they can sit on the shoulder. So, therefore, our mind and senses should become like controlled elephants. By the grace of Guru, by the order of the Guru, instruction of the Guru, and once they have become purified. So the goal of Brahmachari Ashrama is to get purified, for which we have come. If somebody is foolishly arguing, hey, why this control, why that control, then you have to ask him a question, why did you come here in the first place? You have come to a wrong place, sir. If you don't want your mind and senses to be controlled, you are in a wrong place. Actually, you are supposed to go to your IT company and slog like a donkey, make money, and have freedom of money, freedom to mix. All those things are there in the outside world. Then you are taking charge of your life in your own hands. But if somebody is coming to ashrama, both ashrama, even not only brahmachari ashrama, even grihastha ashrama also. If somebody is entering grihastha ashrama, the girl also is trained by her mother. Right from the time the girl is young, the boy goes to Gurukula. But the girl is taught by the mother to rise early in the morning. She has to do also clean the puja room, bow down to the Lord, put the rangoli and all that. Then she has to be taught how to cook, how to clean. The most important thing that a girl learns from her mother is how to care for people. How to care for the husband. How to care for the children. How to respectfully deal with the elders like in-laws. So a girl is taught submissiveness. She will have the submissiveness, cooperative mentality, adjusting ability, patience, tolerance, loving nature, caring nature, being cheerful in all situations. And she will be swift in doing any menial services without a second thought. For example, if some people are eating, some guests have come to home, 4 or 5 people ate and the rice and dal are lying in the ground. You know, if a girl is not trained, she'll be standing like this asking, now what to do next? Then the in-law has to say, what next? Clean the place. Oh, with our own hand we have to clean? Now, do we have a wiper? No? Nowadays people have this kind of thing, isn't it? So she won't mind, just take a cloth and bow down and just clean the place immediately. No hesitation. But if you are not trained, we will be thinking, is there a servant maid in our home who will come and clean this? One servant maid for cleaning, one servant maid for washing pot, one servant maid for washing clothes, one servant maid for taking care of the children like Aya, and one servant maid to get the things. Nowadays in India, sometimes a family has a dozen servant maids to run the family. But if a girl is trained, she'll be like a lightning, swift in action, cleaning, washing. Just as Brahmachari is trained in the Guru's ashrama, girl is trained like that at home also. And, you know, if 50 guests come to home, within 1 hour prasad is ready. She can go to the kitchen and immediately make, because the girls were trained to cook food very nicely, very deliciously, and offer it to Lord and offer it to the people. So a woman is the one who brings happiness to all the members of the family as well as the guests who come by her cheerful disposition. Just like Lakshmi spreads prosperity, prosperity. Similarly, the woman at home, one woman can make every member of the family happy. Elders will be very happy that they are received with respect. Husband will be happy that the elders are kept happy. Children will be happy because they are showered with so much love and care and affection. And she, because of her good qualities, she is like a Grihalakshmi at home. So such a girl trained will be so chaste, she will never look at any man if she is not married. There is no connection. One will never volunteer to connect with any man without the blessing and permission of the parents. So if a woman is raised like that, similarly if a brahmachari is trained in sense control, then they are a perfect match when the marriage has to be done. Because the brahmachari has learned a brahmacharya and the woman has learned chastity to parents. Initially, before marriage, the chastity is to parents. After marriage, the chastity is to husband. And after the husband has taken sannyas, she continues to be faithful at home, staying in the custody of the son. She will never think, my husband has gone for sannyas, let me look for another man. No. She will be very happy and satisfied. In fact, when the husband is going to take sannyas, the woman also goes with him during the vanaprastha stage. Why that is kept? See, the Vedic life is such a perfect life. There is Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Parivrajaka and Paramahamsa. 4 stages. Kutichaka means the husband tells the wife, now I want to slightly make a try in the upward direction. So please allow me. He takes permission from the wife. And then he makes a cottage in the outside the village. So every day the wife takes a Dabba Prasad for him. She goes and delivers in the morning and delivers in the evening. So husband takes only for the wife comes for Prasad. There is no other sense gratification with the wife except accepting the Prasad from her, which he has been taking for a long time. Suddenly he can't give up. Correct, no? Imagine she has been cooking for him 25-30 years. Now suddenly to say no will be difficult. Okay, chalo, no problem. Kutichaka. Start with Kutichaka. And then after that he tells the wife, now I am little more detached now. I have studied the scriptures, surrendered to Guru. Now you don't have to bring any more Prasad. You can be at home. Then he goes for Bahu Udaka. Goes home to home begging alms like a honeybee, which collects honey from flower to flower. Like that, he goes to a home, they give rice, somebody gives wheat. He can't tell them, can you give me son babdi? No. Whatever they give, he has to accept. Whatever they provide, he has to accept. That means the sense control has become very serious now. Correct, no? Someday he will get what he wants. Another day he may get what he doesn't want also. Vegetables also, he doesn't have much choice. Because people may give only alu, for homes they are giving only, then he has to make damalu only. He may not get sabji of his choice. So in this way you will see, this is also control in vanaprastha stage. Then Bahudaka and then Parivrajaka means he leaves the village now. Goes from village to village now. Because what happens when you are in the village, there is some amount of invisible connection with the family. still felt, he may go home to home collecting, but he may sometimes think that my wife was giving such nice prasad morning, evening. I think I too much became renounced now. And again, there is a possibility of wanting to take from wife like before. But then Paribrajaka means you go from one village to another, one city to another. And so you have no possibility of developing any attachment anywhere. Because if you don't stay more than 2-3 days in one place, what attachment you will develop? There is no time for attachment to build. You just keep moving from place to place. Every place you meet new people. Every place you get different people cook food for you. And sometimes it may be according to your need or may not be according to your liking. So in this way, one sees the whole world as Vasudhayeva Kutumbakam. The whole world is like my family. All jivas are Krishna's children. They are all like my brothers and sisters. Krishna is the father of all. So that type of vision will develop when one becomes Paribrajaka. And then one absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. Nama anjanantasya hatatra pappathan guhyani bhadrani kritani chasmaran gam paryathan tushthamanagatas prahah kalam pratikshan vimado vimatsarah. See, every word is so important in this verse. He says that namani anantasya. Such a person actually moves from place to place simply chanting and singing the holy names of the Lord. Ananta is Krishna, whose glories are unlimited. Even Ananta Shesh did not find an end to Lord's glories. He is singing with thousands of mouths. So that Lord who is being profusely glorified is glorified by this person. Namani Anantasya. Hatatrapappatan means he has given up all his designation. When you are at home, you know, initially somebody calls you with a name, and then eventually when you grow up, somebody calls you uncle, somebody calls you aunt, or somebody calls you dadaji, somebody calls you mamaji. But when you leave home, you have no designation. All these mental designations are washed off. Like Prabhupada said, sitting in the front of Yamuna, Prabhupada was saying all the names and forms of the relatives and friends and society, social circles, professional circle, everything, all these names are only names only. They all are going far away because they don't remain permanently with you. The only Lord who travels with you when you are a Parivrajaka is your super soul. You are accompanying him. So you give up all designations, material designations. And the only spiritual designation is Jivara Sarupahoy Vishnanta Das. You become very firmly rooted in that designation. Krishna is my only master. If he gives me food, I will eat. If he doesn't give me, I will just drink water and keep quiet. Atatrapappathan. And guhyani badrani kritani chasmaran. Kritani means Lord's pastimes. Guhyani means very confidential. Like the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. The pastimes of how Lord becomes servant of his devotees. So these pastimes are not commonly known to the people. People in general at the most know God is order supplier. But guhyani means the confidential pastimes where the Lord puts devotees even above his own head. He considers himself to be subordinate to his devotees and his intimate revelations. How the Lord makes the devotee like an instrument. Lord dances according to devotee's tune. Devotee dances according to Lord's tune. They are made for each other and they both exist beyond the three gunas. And sometimes, yasyaham anugrihnami, Lord does. This kind of confidential thing common people cannot understand. But he understands guhyani. Bhadrani means very auspicious pastimes. Kirtani chasmaran is always remembering in his mind and heart at every moment. So he becomes flooded with the remembrance of the Lord. And gam pariyatan goes from village to village. Paribrajaka acharya, isn't it? Kam pariyatan tushtamana means completely satisfied. In this stage, he becomes satisfied. Like here, Prabhupada says, when a person is in this world, it is very difficult for him to be satisfied, and it is very difficult for him to satisfy the relatives, and it is very difficult for him to satisfy the boss in the company also. All these people keep saying, bring more money, work more hard, it's not enough. Till last breath, a person has to slog in this world. Everybody is demanding more and more. And if you cannot produce as per the expectation of the company boss or the family and friends, relatives, then one is considered an incompetent person. And people will show it by their angry glances. and by their sounds like that, huh? And then a person understands, I think they are upset with me, I am not able to bring enough money. And also people want more and more money for increasing their social status, prestige and their greed. So it becomes very difficult for a person who is logging in this world. So, but the one Supreme Lord, he is the only person who is easily satisfied, even with a tulasi or gangajal. So when this Parivrajakacharya travels place to place, glorifies the Lord, he understands the Lord is the person who is most easily pleased, easily satisfied. Trishtamana. So he also becomes satisfied in the company of the Lord. Just as Lord's heart is full of satisfaction, the devotee who has become free, tatparatpena nirmalam, mala has gone away, then as soon as the impurities are driven out of the heart, automatically two things happen in the heart. One is satisfaction comes in, and a longing for the Lord awakens also in a person's heart, because it's a natural thing. It's not that you have to create something. It's a very natural thing. Just like the pure water. There is a muddy water, there is a pure water. When his heart becomes pure, you know, the kamakrodha lobha are driven out. Immediately satisfaction sets in, because the dissatisfaction is due to the kamakrodha lobha hankering. So he becomes satisfied and becomes reinstated in the spiritual position. Tushtamana. Gataspruhaha. All desires are driven out. Kalam pradikshan. And he is awaiting the death. He is not in a hurry. He doesn't say that, please kindly make me die soon. No. Oh, please give me a longer life. No. He is not asking for a longer life or a shorter life. He says, whenever you wish to take me, my Lord, you take me. Because it makes no difference for me whether I am in spiritual world or material world. My activity is the same. Kalam pratikshan vimado. He never becomes proud in that position. You know, although he is liberated, he feels pity for the conditioned souls. Although he is most learned and most enlightened, he feels pity for those who are kripanas, who are not learned in the scriptures. He tries to preach to them and purify them and elevate them. Vimatsaraha is not envious. A griha medhi is envious, Prabhupada says. A griha medhi means a householder who accumulates a lot of money, lot of commodities, lot of properties and everything. He always looks at the neighbor and thinks, oh, that person has more money, he has a better car than me. You know, he has, you know, I have only two daughters, he has got two sons. So they envy that they have something which I don't have. So the Vihamedi means a person who is like a Kolluka Bail, we say, you know, a bull goes round and round, you know, the oil extracting machine you might have seen. Similarly, for this man, the home is the place, field of work. He goes round and round. And how to enjoy at home, how to eat, how to sleep, how to watch TV, how to read newspaper, how to watch cricket, how to play games, play chess, play carom, play video games, and how to have more and more dresses, how to have more and more shoes, how to have better and bigger cars, how to enjoy life, make more money, go abroad, go on tours, and just enjoy life, eat, drink and be merry. That's a Griha Medhi, you see. So the Griha Medhis are envious of one another in this world, and they pull each other's legs, they climb on each other's heads, making the world a messy place. But here, when he comes to the stage of Paramahamsa, his body becomes like a vehicle for the Lord, for the Lord to reside and rest in his heart. Tumara hridaye sada Govinda Vishram. So in this way, a grihastha person is allowed to gradually go from Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Parivrajaka and Paramahamsa stage. After which he becomes completely pure and, you know, goes back to Godhead. And what happens to wife? Because she was associating with him in the early Vanaprastha stage. In the Bhagavatam you find Prithu and Archi are going to forest together. Because the Kshatriya kings, they would not take sannyas sometimes. But they would only go for Vanaprastha. Like Prithu and Archi, till the last breath, he didn't take sannyas. He just remained a renunciate. But husband and wife live together, not for sense gratification, but for focusing on Krishna consciousness. So Prithu and Archi practiced together. Prabhupada says, she was faithfully serving him and he was pleased with her. And he offered her respect and appreciation and thankfulness. And she assisted him in his devotional service. And their pleasure came from mutually assisting each other in devotional service and not from bodily sense gratification. Prabhupada very clearly writes that. Panchasha urdvam vanam praje. It is not that the affection between husband and wife is curbed after 50. They have to become like a stone, not be affectionate to each other. But the affection should be for enhancing each other's spiritual life. Like the devotee. And then Prithu and Archie are going back to Godhead in two planes. And all the Prithu is going and Archie is following. And all devatas are showering flowers. And they are glorifying. See this wonderful couple. Even we are not like them. See, they have perfected their life and they are going to Vaikuntha. Back home, back to Godhead. In the same manner, the other kings also. Malayadvaja and Vaidarbhi. Very another perfect example of Vanaprastha. Living in the forest. And Malayadvaja was very strict and very ardent practitioner, and Vaidarbhi was assisting him. So one day when she was, when she saw his feet had become very cold, she understands that he has left his body practicing Krishna consciousness. So it is not only that, only men have to become serious practitioners and take sannyas and all that. In women also there are very serious practitioners. One of the examples is Shabari. You know, Shabari was an 8 or 9 year old girl when she met Matanga Rishi. So many rishis, munis lived in that area. So she met this rishi and bowed down to him and sought guidance. So because she was spiritually awakened and very serious, so he gave her the procedure of Ashtanga Yoga along with Bhakti Yoga and taught her. And then promised her, my child, if you continue practicing this, you know, in your ripe old age, you will get darshan of the Supreme Lord eye to eye. So she practiced Krishna consciousness very seriously practicing. And then when she was 90 plus, at that time Lord Ram came to meet her, because Lord always remembers if some devotee has given blessing to somebody, Lord keeps that blessing. So you will see her ashram was so clean, spick and span. Even Lakshman was surprised. I am serving Ram in the forest, even I have never kept it so clean. See the way the ashram is kept so clean. And the ashram was very fragrant. So Lord Ram asked Shabari, why is your ashram so fragrant here? Then she showed, these are the trees you see. In fact, she said, these trees are my Padapadasha Guru, she said. And Lord Ram asked, how? She said, when I was passing through this Tapovanam, this place, these trees' fragrance attracted me. So then I came to this place. Then I saw these hermitages where many rishis, munis were living. So seeing this fragrance, of the flowers in the street, they were extraordinary fragrance. Then I saw Matanga Rishi coming out of the ashram. Then I bowed down to the Rishi and then I folded my palms and asked the Rishi that, how these trees are having so many fragrant flowers? So the Rishi said, see, this is the beauty of devotional service. This is the fragrance of devotional service. Like that he said, and he smiled and he went away. Still I was not satisfied, she said. What is this fragrance of devotion service? You know, flowers fragrance is fragrance and devotion service is another thing. Then she met the disciples of the Guru. And she asked the disciples, why these flowers are so fragrant? What are these flowers? Then they said, the younger disciples, they said, the senior most disciples who are living in this ashram for years together with our Guruji. You know, one day Guru saw them performing such a severe austerities and services in the ashram, due to which they were sweating. And they were sweating and the sweat was falling on the ground. So at that time, Guru seeing their sweat falling on the ground was so touched by their surrender and dedication to the services. So Guru blessed them saying that, may this sweat produce fragrant trees. Indicating the sweet fragrance of your devotional service. So it is Guru who gave them the blessing. So wherever these fellows dropped their sweat, there these fragrant trees have come. Like that she said, this is the fragrance. Therefore Guru said, the fragrance of devotion service of those dedicated disciples. Like that he said. So, and then Lord Ram, hearing that, he was so pleased. He asked her to tell him more about Matanga Rishi. Instead of Lord Ram wanting to hear his own glories, he heard the glories of Matanga Rishi more and more. And she was feeding the best of fruits. Sometimes you hear that, you know, she tasted the fruit and gave. Yes, she tasted the fruit of the tree, and once she ensured that the fruits are good, then the fruits which she gave to Ram were not bitten fruits. You cannot offer a bitten fruit to the Lord. They were all of the same tree, same quality fruits. But one or two she tasted and understood this tree has produced very sweet fruits. Then she gave Lord Ram very clean, washed and nice fruits with great loving affection. And Lakshman was watching. Lakshman had never seen Lord Ram delighting in eating any fruits so much, even when he was supplying fruits to Ram. He was surprised. Lord Ram was praising each of the fruit so much with great exclamation. He was praising her, glorifying her. And then she told Ram that now you both will go back now. But after you go, I have a desire to return back to my spiritual master. He has already gone back to the spiritual world. So I also want to go and eternally serve him. Please give me your blessing. And Lord Ram gave the Abhay Mudra like this. He showed her hand. Next moment she sat in yogic meditation. But then she created a mystic fire. And then she went back to Godhead immediately. So it is not that only men have to become serious in spiritual life. Women also have shown examples of very serious practitioners. Kunti Maharani also became a very serious practitioner of Krishna consciousness. You will see once Draupadi met Satyabhama. Satyabhama and Krishna had come to the forest. And Krishna was talking to the Pandava men. And then Satyabhama was talking to Draupadi. So Satyabhama took Draupadi to the side and said, "Yeah, how do you satisfy 5 husbands? I have difficulty satisfying this one fellow, Krishna, you know. Sometimes Krishna is more pleased with Rukmini than me also. So you tell me, how do you please your husbands? I want to take some notes from you." So Satyabhama asked this question to Draupadi. And Draupadi said, "Your wife sleeps late and rises early before the husband," she said. "And a wife always bathes herself, wears clean dress, wears ornaments and looks very beautiful in the presence of the husband. And when the husband is away, a wife becomes an ascetic. She wears very simple dress. She doesn't decorate herself very attractively because she doesn't want to be attractive to other men. She wants to be attractive only to the husband. And then she becomes an ascetic. So she studies the scriptures, chants the holy name, takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously when the husband is away. But when the husband is in station, when a husband comes, immediately she tends to his needs in a one-pointed way, in a focused way, paying attention to understanding his mind, understanding his needs. She cares for him." So like that she tells about 10-15 things she says. In Mahabharata you will read that. So for a woman, husband is like a representative of God. By serving him faithfully, and if the husband is a representative of Guru and Krishna, and the husband is very serious in Krishna consciousness, then he actually can reflect God's mercy for the wife and children. Then such a wife faithfully serving the husband, she just follows the same path and goes back to Godhead. So here you find the Prachetas. The one more para is there, we'll complete it. "Unless one practices penances and austerities in his student life, he cannot understand the existence of God." See what Prabhupada says. Why we should practice austerity and penances and control our senses? If we are choirs, fools, we don't control the senses, control the mind, and let the mind and senses wander in all directions, definitely such a person cannot understand God. God is, sukshmam. Gajendra uses the word, no? Sukshmam, ivati, duram. God is far away and is very subtle, subtlest, is more subtle than soul also. More subtle than soul is super soul. So he is only accessible by those who have purified their mind and senses. Without realizing Krishna, one cannot make his life perfect. The conclusion is that when the children are grown, the wife should be put in the children's charge. The husband may then leave home to develop Krishna consciousness. Everything depends on the development of mature knowledge. King Prachina Parishad, the father of the Prachetas, left home before the arrival of his sons who were engaged in austerity within the water. As soon as time is ripe, or as soon as one has developed perfect Krishna consciousness, he should leave home, even though all his duties may not be fulfilled. Like Prabhupada, our Prabhupada also took Vanaprastha, you know. What was the year of birth of Prabhupada? 1896. Do you know which year he took Vanaprastha? Yeah, at the age of? Yeah, 1959, I think, is it? 1955, yeah. Correct. Exactly at the age of 50. From that, he winded up his business and he started Vanaprastha activities. How? He went to Vrindavan. So he had one leg in Vrindavan, one leg in Delhi, going back and forth, printing back to Godhead magazine. He started engaging in devotional activities. So this is what all grihasthas are supposed to do. When a grihastha becomes 45, 50, you should start winding up the company job. You earned money, children are grown up, they are married and settled. So now get into devotional activities more. Start preaching, start distributing books, you know, put up Harinam Sankirtanas all over the city. And also inspire the younger devotees to become more and more advanced in spiritual life. So one can gradually wind up material life and expand spiritual life. So Prabhupada says to cut off the tie of affection means to broaden the field of spiritual activities. Prabhupada says. So on one hand we have to wind up material life, on the other hand we have to expand spiritual life. So by the time the death comes to us, says at the age of 70, 80 or whatever, the spiritual life is expanded so much you are drowned in it. And that is the right state of consciousness to go back to Godhead. Correct, no? That's what he is saying. And Prabhupada did that precisely. And sannyas he took in which year? 1959. At the age of? He was 63 that time. Correct. So sannyas at the right time is taken. He took vanaprastha at the right time, sannyas at the right time. Went abroad and then he was like a rocket that took off. So much he did and went in 12 years. And then Prabhupada, as soon as the time is ripe, or as soon as one has developed Krishna consciousness, he should leave home, even though all the duties may not be fulfilled. Why he is saying like that? The Kailash story, you know, how many duties were pending for him. For everybody, there will always be something left undone. But one should never think that something is undone. Go on. Prachana Parishad was waiting for the arrival of his sons, but following the instructions of Narada, as soon as his intelligence was properly developed, he simply left instructions for his ministers to impart to his sons. Thus, without waiting for their arrival, he left home. See, generally the father should wait for the sons to return. Once they marry and they settle, then he is supposed to go to forest. But here what he did? He left the instructions with ministers and he left. That much Narada Muni preached to him strongly, powerfully. Narada Muni awakened him so well that, you know, he could clearly see, you know, the spiritual destination. Giving up a comfortable home life is absolutely necessary for human beings. And is advised by Prahlad Maharaj, Hitpatma Patam Grahamanda Kopam, to finish the materialistic way of life, one should leave his so-called comfortable home life, which is simply a means for killing the soul, Atma Patam. The home is considered to be a dark well covered by grass. And if one falls within this well, he simply dies without anyone's caring. One should therefore not be too much attached to family life, for it will spoil one's development of Krishna consciousness. See, when you say these things, neophyte devotees understand it wrongly by claiming that if you are a family man, it is a andakopam, which is not true. Very clearly Prabhupada mentions, one is attached to family life. That word is very important. So same thing is true in brahmachari also, he is attached to sense gratification. For him also it's andakopam only. Because if a brahmachari is attached to sense gratification, he doesn't remain a brahmachari for a long time. He just he develops more and more material desires. So whether it is brahmachari ashrama or a grihastha ashrama, you know, the material attachment is condemned and spiritual attachment is glorified. So if a grihastha man or woman has an altar at home, they are worshipping the Lord, putting up festivals for the Lord, having programs, classes, having bhajans, kirtans, studying the scriptures daily, regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, and delighting in the information given in the scriptures about the Lord's nature, his behavior. And once a man or woman, their mind and senses become engladdened by the Lord's qualities, you know, the same will come in their dealing with the children, dealing with the relatives. They cannot keep their mouth shut. They will naturally share their realization with the relatives, family members. And this is how the family becomes like a Vaikuntha, even in a family. On the other hand, those families who are unfortunate, Grahamanda Kopam means they have a very big door at the entrance, you know, beware of dogs. And sitting inside the home, they are watching TV, watching movie, reading cinema magazines, watching sports shows. You know, there are good number of families who have become degraded like that, which are being condemned here. So Prahlad Maharaj told his father, don't join such a family, Grahamanda Kupam. Go to forest of Raja, which means make your home Vrindavan. That's what he is telling. So in this way, Prachetas, ideal examples. At the right time, they handed over their wife to the sons for sons' care, and then they proceeded to the forest. So today onwards, we are starting this kirtan, 11-hour kirtan. Our Mahatma Hari Prabhu and Mahatma Priya Prabhu and Sarlakshan Prabhu are jointly putting up. I know it's the one, same one, I think. Correct, no? So here, 12-hour kirtan, not 11-hour. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Correct, no? So we need singers, we need mridanga players, and mridanga players, there's a highlight put, more important. And then chorus singers can assist any slots as they wish. And then TEAM means together everyone achieves more. Like there is written also. Okay. So, if you can put up the lead singer's name, then others will think, oh, this dude, some people may like one particular singer. They may want to join his party. So, you can put the singer's, lead singer's name already put up. Every day you will put up? Okay. Really, we need good mridanga player also. We need. Otherwise, this is a good time for devotees to learn mridanga also now. They can start practicing now. Those who don't know, you get a little more time. So let us keep this 12-hour kirtan on every day, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So I am concluding my that quarantine for divine session today evening, last session, Gajendra Moksham and Bharat Maharaj. And tomorrow onwards, I am planning to, same timing, start another series, which is a suspense. I will tell you, I am coming up with a pamphlet now, which I will be putting up. So that is also same timing, 4:30 to 6 and 6:30 to 8. But there is one special additional addition, just like we have masala dosa, special dosa. What is special? 4 to 4:30, we are going to have extraordinary singers sing there, which will be also going in YouTube to all the worldwide audience. It will go 4 to 4:30 and 6 to 6:30. So I used to have Hriday Madhav Prabhu, Sridev Prabhu and Yogendra Prabhu and who else used to sing with me? One more devotee, Kanaya Priya Prabhu. Kanaya Dulal Prabhu. They were helping me. So I am requesting the best of the singers to come and make that 4 to 4:30 kirtan. So people should switch on their, you know, TV or whatever at 4 o'clock only. So I want to prepare the people with kirtan and then start my lecture. That's the plan. I will do only a short kirtan I will do and start the lecture. Which means it will be 4 to 8. Yeah, 4 to 8 straight. 2 hours Hindi program and 2 hours English program. Then it becomes almost like daily Krishna Rasayanam. Isn't it? So half an hour kirtan and 1.5 hours katha and question answers. But in Krishna Sanam, I was not taking so many questions. Now I'm taking many questions. Almost 20 minutes, half an hour, I take questions. And devotees across the globe have been responding very enthusiastically. So I'm planning to start a series till April 15th. It will go till April 15th. So I'll put it up soon. But the evening program is not compulsory for you. It's voluntary. You know, you have the daytime programs. Kirtan is compulsory for you, 30 minutes. And every one of you should contribute 30 minutes. Either you sing or you join the chorus. Correct, no? That is compulsory for you. Morning program 4:30 to 9:30, compulsory for you. And then brahmachari class, daily brahmachari class, 1 hour 15 minutes. So, actually I want to do my brahmachari sangha little early, I thought, 1 to 2:15. Where is Antadipu? 1 to 2:15 I will do. Here 12 to 1 Gaurarti is there. And then 1 to 2:15 you will finish it off. If somebody is prasadam taker at 1 o'clock, you can sit behind and take. So Monday will be common brahmachari class. And then Tuesday to Sunday, each sanghas can do their own here classes. Individually they can do. Correct? Which is the council meeting? Monday. Okay, Sunday you keep council meeting. And then Monday common brahmachari class. And then other days you have your other brahmachari sanghas. So that is also mandatory. Okay? And evening, if you can participate in one or two, or if you don't want anything you want to read, you can read also. It's your choice. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinoda ki.